The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Cat Attack Podcast Finals Edition, Kerr's Hire sort of style. Jared will be up and about.
That's Jason's brother, Jared.
Oh, is it?
No, it's Jared. You're right.
Yes, I was right. Was
you're right.
Last week I called him Jason.
Yeah, no, that was actually, on the cutting room floor, really.
I haven't actually met Jared. So.
Good fella.
Yeah, really he loves fella. The pussycats, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
Yep. He's only human.
He'd be shaking his booty after... maybe not shaking it so much after Saturday night, but some Melbourne supporters were keen. That was extreme, sort of big hats on, weren't they? And just sort of boo.
Twirling the fingers? Good on them. Good on them. Do you know what? Just because you won in round 23 doesn't mean you've won anything.
No, it was a pretty extraordinary game, to be honest with you.
It almost felt surreal what was going... There was a sense of... When they got back to 32 points... At three-quarter time, I actually thought the Cats were in trouble. I just had that sense that the game had completely been flipped on its head.
Yeah, well, could you think a team was in trouble when they led by six goals at three-quarter time, and the other team at that point had only kicked...
Yeah, half a dozen.
Six?
Yep.
So they had to kick as many they kicked in three quarters in one quarter just to get over the top.
There was just some signs in
Geelong
the back half of the third quarter.
Yeah, look, it was... I mean, look, Geelong had their bad patch in the last quarter. Melbourne had their bad patch in the second quarter. At the end of the day, there was less than a goal between the two teams.
Right.
So, you know, flip it on your head, Geelong had the last quarter like they did. We're jumping up and down. Mm. I mean, for the second quarter, Geelong put Melbourne to the sword. Melbourne were putrid. In the last quarter, Geelong were putrid.
Yep.
Just that, I mean, I'd much rather that happen, Kingy, round 23, than in a final.
Mm.
And do you know what? I'm going to go out in a limb here. Are you allowed to go out in a limb?
You're allowed to go out in a limb.
Do you reckon Leslie listens to the Cat Attack podcast?
Leslie, of course, for those who didn't catch the call on Friday night, Leslie is an 88-year-old listener who was far from impressed that Benny went the early crow in the second quarter that Geelong were going to win the game.
I went a big crow. I don't often crow, I crow. At 44 points up with the opposition four goals on the board,
yep.
Goodness me, you're sort of going out and jiggling your Lipton, aren't you? Yeah, the Cats were doing a bit of jiggling, and it wasn't their Lipton in that the last quarter. But there was magnets getting thrown all over the place, trying to halt the momentum. But my big call, Kingy,
Geelong win the flag.
That loss, he's going to set them up to win the premiership.
Okay, I hope.
Well,
you're right.
Hang on, set them up to win this week.
Right.
I'd much rather be playing Port Adelaide than Brisbane.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Geelong,
because you're not going to have a massive crowd in Adelaide, too. It's not like you're going to
have 50,000.
No.
So the old never tear us apart is sort of going to be karaoke style, just with, you know, when you buy the kid the little one with the little portable amp and the poxy microphone.
Yeah.
It's going to be that rather than the sort of big AC/DC explosion.
Or in excess at Wembley Stadium.
Or
sort
Tool,
of.
When I went and saw Tool at the tennis centre. Where was that loud?
Did Tool play the tennis centre?
They did. I went February 22, 2 years ago.
The Cats.
Yeah.
You said that you're a bit excited about...
I reckon they'll beat Port.
Yep.
And I'm a bit of a pessimist. I reckon
Sorry, what happened to Ben Castagnolia?
I reckon they beat Port.
There
you go. That's my prediction.
What do they beat them by?
I don't care what they beat them by. It doesn't matter.
They want to be better than they were in the qualifying final last year, Benny.
Yeah, well, it's a year different. I reckon they match up well against Port. Mm. Simply because Port have a very good... Geelong need to break even in the midfield.
Yes.
They can't afford to be pantsed in the midfield like they were last quarter on Friday night.
No.
Or they were, what was it, 7 or 8 weeks ago against Brisbane.
Yep.
When they just got opened up. But if that happens, no chance. Port Adelaide is very good in the midfield. I don't know that either end they're fantastic. Their defence is light on. So you got Jonas.
Houston.
Aaliyah.
Yep.
McKenzie.
Yep.
And Houston. So Houston, McKenzie and Jonas, I reckon, are all under 190.
Yep.
And Aaliyah...
McKenzie's a bit taller.
I reckon
he's
190. You look that up there, I reckon he'd be 190. He's a glorified halfback flanker who they're trying to make a key position player. And he actually has played on Tom Hawkins before, and he hasn't done too badly, to be honest with you. But then they've got Aaliyah. Aaliyah is not...
191.
There you go. So I was only 1 centimetre off. So,
no, 2, because you said he was under 190.
Well, 1.5 then. Split the difference. So, I reckon Alaire is not the sort of player that they want to have to lock onto a Tom Hawkins.
No, because they need him being creative.
Yeah, correct. So that means I'd say McKenzie goes to Hawkins.
Yep.
If Geelong's midfield can create 7 or 8 opportunities for Tom Hawkins one-on-one with McKenzie near goal,
he'll win 5.
He'll kick 6.
Yep.
And I don't know that Jonas is a great matchup. Jonas is very physical defender. I don't know he's a great matchup for Cameron.
No.
Cause, who's very agile. Jonas is a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's an underrated player. He's not the captain for no reason. He's a bit like a Tom Harley sort of captain. He's a very physical player, and he throws his body in, and he's courageous, all those things. Just don't know if he's a great matchup for a really agile defender. And Houston is just a halfback flanker.
Yep.
So Geelong's...
Rowan's the player that might be able to get off the chain.
Yeah. So I just reckon their forward line matches up really well on their back line. And I reckon our defenders, as long as Mark Blitzarv doesn't play... This is where I get concerned. Mark Blitzarv needs to play his defence.
Yep.
Reece Downey has to find a way to run out most of the game. Yep. Hawkins does the ruck work up forward.
Yep.
Because I don't want Charlie Dixon on Henderson, who's monstered him before.
Yep.
I'd rather Blitzarv's on Dixon. That's a good matchup. And the rest of Geelong's defence, I think, matches up pretty well.
Falls in around that. Yeah. Yep. And they won't have the likes of Georgiades, we don't think, who I think would be a tough matchup for the Cats.
Yes, he's a good player, Georgiades. Yep. Yeah.
But Rosie, you know, the likes
Rosie's
of...
Rosie's good.
Probably Buse goes to Rosie.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I think he's a classy player, Rosie. He doesn't need too many possessions to influence the game. Yeah, potentially. I think he could... I think he could probably... I don't know. He's a great going the other way, Rosie. I'm not sure that he defends that well. Someone, I reckon maybe a Henry would be a chance.
And Buse to Motlop.
Buse to Motlop. I like that
matchup. See, Motlop got hold of the Cats in that final last year. Yeah, he got his tail up.
And then you've got Colajasny. He would probably go on to Georgiades.
You go to Marshall.
Yeah, you go to Marshall, I'd say. Well, they'll probably put Henderson to Marshall.
Yep.
But I think they match up really well at both ends. I think Geelong, and I know the game's not played on paper, but if you're looking at it on paper, I'm thinking Geelong have got the upper hand up forward and potentially maybe a slight upper hand with their defenders on their forwards.
The midfield?
Their midfield is where they've got to play. Yep. The midfield has to come to play. And
would you send O'Connor to...
I would.
Yep.
But they won't.
To Wines.
I don't think that they will, but I would.
Yep.
But Dangerfield, Selwood, and obviously Duncan. Pretty big news today. Yeah, Duncan's back. I don't think anybody sort of envisioned he. But you were saying preliminary final.
The club was basically giving as much indication as possible to probably not get expectations too high.
So you're saying he's been training for a few weeks?
Yep.
Full training.
Last couple, he's stepped it up. Yep.
So I'll ask you this question, and you have to tell me this is not the gibberish meter going on here.
Yeah.
If this week wasn't a final, would he be playing?
Yes, he would be.
He'd play regardless?
Yep.
Okay. My thought was that they may be rolling.
Because he could have played last week.
Right.
Duncan back, but no Tui for another week. Yeah, but that's not a real shock, because you're looking, as Adam Walters from Crow Bay Health Group said, if this is your garden variety hamstring, you want 3 weeks and... The next final three. Well, best case scenario, Cats win and they.
Well, they've got a double chance, so they can't throw all the eggs into the one basket.
No,
and they probably are a little bit with Duncan. Although you said he would have been right for last week, but they're probably thinking, well, he needs a game.
Yep.
So let's hope he plays well. Fingers crossed. If he doesn't, he gets a game under his belt for the whatever the next game is, whether it's the 2 weeks later or a week later or whenever it is. So he probably just needs to get his... I'd be really interested to see how Mitch Duncan goes. A very good player, was having a very good year prior to getting injured.
Yep.
First up in a final against a good midfield. It's. I just wonder where his minutes are going to be compromised.
Well, they said none of that would happen. Like, he's not being managed, he's ready to go. So they've timed him based
off... You would have thought he can't possibly play as many minutes as if he was battle-hardened.
No, but they're not... But they're not going to rein him in either.
No, they can't. They're not going to give him like 60% game time.
No.
But at some point, it probably decreases by 5 or 10%.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, it's a big in for the Cats.
But they're probably also going, well, we're backing ourselves to win this, and we can run him at as long as he can go at full tilt, knowing that he'll have a 1-2 week potential turnaround.
Yeah.
Final.
Well, it's a big night for him, and. What's Mitch, 31? 30?
Born in 90 from memory.
Tommy Hawkins, 300th game too.
Yeah, and they're great mates.
Yeah.
They are massive.
Old Hunky Dunky.
Hunky Dunky and Hawk are great mates. He's a great man, Hawk.
Yeah, he's
good. He did his media during the week.
Yeah, he would have been.
He was people go, I'll worry about people, after I've played and get back to him. He goes, it's my 300th. I'll get to embrace it. You know, that's our theme at the club at the moment. Just embrace the excitement about everything. And he's so thorough with his answers. They're not a short media conference with.
No, you go for it.
The 26. Went for just over 20, I reckon. But he's just so thorough, and he's so thoughtful.
Yeah.
With his answers, he doesn't waste a word.
Yeah.
There's no spin and gibberish with. He's a country boy.
He's been a great warrior for the Cats. And he's been a whipping boy at times, which I've always found extraordinary. But his career's been fantastic. How many goals he kicking?
650-odd. But it's a fair effort to play 300 as a key forward. Yeah, there's not many not many power forwards have played 300.
I'd say he and Riewoldt have been the most durable forwards in the competition over the last decade.
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't miss Tommy Hawkins. We've spoken about it before.
No,
they whiz him up to when they were playing pre-season games in February, in Cairns. And
he'd go.
Yeah, he was all. Every pre-season game he plays, he's a lot. He's in career best form.
Yep.
His last two or three years have been he's probably his best. He's not getting worse. He's getting better.
Yep.
And his body is durable. He's fit. Covers the ground. Yep. His ruck has become a bit of a weapon for the Cats up forward. It's a big sort of sweaty bum crack arrangement for the opposition when the ball's going in one on one.
I know it's 12 months away, but would you back that he's playing on in 2023?
I'd say he's got 2 years left. Yeah. The way he's playing.
Yep.
But that will depend on his mental state, whether he's keen to go on, because there is a mental aspect to it.
Yeah, that's what's pulled a lot of players up.
I think he's a bit of a. I don't know him very well, but I don't think he's one of those blokes that worries about a whole lot.
No.
He's a bit carefree. He's got a sort of a good disposition for footy.
Yep.
Great
family life footy balance too.
Yeah.
If he wants to get away from footy, he gets on the 4x4 on the farm and. Out in the four-wheeler out in the farm and, goes down the back fence and does whatever he wants to do or whatever, tends to whatever animals he's got out on the property, and he's got the two girls and Emma, and he just seems to have, he's almost the perfect man.
I don't know about that.
Well, there's one story that obviously, lets him down in that regard.
What's that?
Well, you can't leave beers out in the sun, can you, Benny?
That's horrific. That was absolutely horrific.
Tell that story, Benny.
No, well, the skipper was Bucks Day, and Tom's obviously played his whole career with Joel Selwood. Yes. So Tom kindly offered to have his ranch used as the place for the Bucks Day because they could get away a little bit, and no one was taking photos over the fence and all that sort of stuff. So they went to into Corey Enright's pub there.
Yep.
It sort of at lunchtime.
Yep.
Had a few sort of just starters. Few appetizers
and a bite to eat,
and a little bit of sustenance, and then they were all heading out to Tommy's ranch, and he'd sorted out all the gas out there, and when he got out there, when everyone got out there, he left all the gas in the sun, in bathtubs, in ice, all ice had melted, and the gas was actually cooking, so they had to go and organise some reinforcements. It was an absolute schmozzle, to be honest with you.
That's the only thing he's probably done wrong.
That's the only cock up in 299 games, Kenny. But look, he's been a great servant. Oh,
he'd like the 2019 semi-final back too. Was that the little tap on Schofield? Yeah,
that wasn't ideal. Do you reckon...
Cats might have won the flag.
Do you think it will... it's probably hard to say, but do you think it'll have any influence on the Cats this week? Is it a good week to have a milestone as significant as his, or it doesn't matter?
I don't think it will matter.
Do you reckon they'll just embrace it?
Yep. It's just part of the final series. Just happens to be 300 games.
Yeah.
Because next, the following game, Joel breaks the club record. Yeah, so he equals it this week with Boris. Week after, he gets to 333.
Yeah.
Breaks it. Well, game after. All going to plan. So, that's hopefully a prelim. So, look, I don't think it... you wouldn't want to lose it because of that. But catch records in some milestone games haven't been great. some have been okay.
They had a period there where they didn't lose.
No.
Back in the heyday.
But,
you know, they had that great team.
Boris's 300th.
That was one. That's when it started. It all started to go downhill from there.
Yeah.
Up till that point, I reckon they hadn't lost a milestone game for about 7 or 8 years.
No, then it fell over.
So anyway, it's a big night for the footy club. Big night for Tom. And I wonder whether... So there's been no family be able to get there, though.
No. That, he said that in his media conference on Tuesday. He said the disappointing part is that... that there'll be no Emma and the girls, or, you know, the old man, obviously Jack, with he played the 180-odd games, doesn't get the chance to be there. He's up on the property up in the Riverina up at Finley, so disappointment. It's interesting. So Tommy played his 150th the week after his mother passed, and now he's at 300. So his career's doubled in that time, and I'm sure his mum, Jen, would be very proud of what he's achieved, and that Ledeux side of the family, very much so. Of course, his grandfather, Fred, playing some games for the Cats back in the day as well. So it's a great lineage. The Ledeux and Hawkins have given the Cats, and obviously his uncle's played with Jill. I think Rob definitely did, and Michael might have been at the Cats. I'm not sure whether he played a senior game. So, you know what? Tommy's been fantastic to K-Rock over the journey as well. You know, 15 years he's been at the Cats, and he's never shirked an interview with us. He's always thoughtful with us. He's, you know, come into the studio to do stuff with you and I. He's been just fantastic, and, like, I'm rapt for him. He's just he's... You sort of move on when players retire, and, you know, there hasn't been many Cats that I've called who go, oh, gee, I'm disappointed he's gone. When he goes, I'm going to be... When he and Sal's...
Be a massive hole.
...are gone, that'll be, wow.
It'll be an enormous hole.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing too is that he's crucial on Friday night.
Yep.
If he can play, if he plays well,
I think kicks a handful.
I think the Cats win.
Yep.
So, yeah, no doubt he will want to play well, game 300. But yeah, hats off to him. You don't play 300 games by accident.
So back on the no families, the Cats are on the road now. They're on the road as long as it takes to win the flag. They won't come home.
You've got to pack this sort of the extra pair of Reg Grundies. Would you pack, King?
I spoke to Tommy Atkins yesterday, and I said, so the extra jocks and socks into the bag, and he goes, yep. But he's planning to be gone for 5 weeks.
How long would you sort of prepare for? Do they have the sort of some able to do their washing, or do you have to just turn them inside out every second day just to get sort of maximum usage?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works, but I'm sure the AFL's got that all factored in. I don't know where they're going in Perth. I haven't been told that, but clubs previously have gone to Joondalup,
the hippie club,
which is a resort style setup,
yeah,
where they can be.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah,
out and about.
This is getting better.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they should go to the hippie club? I reckon.
What's the hippie club?
The hippie club is a famous night spot in East Perth.
Right.
Yeah, it's called the hippie club.
Right. Never been there, Benny. Yeah. No, yeah. You have.
I've refreshed there. Yes.
You've refreshed there. Is that when you used to stay at the Maricunda?
No. It was a bit far away from the Maricunda. Maricunda was more jetting out of Perth and back up to the mine site. But the hippie club. Yeah, there's been plenty of. Plenty of stuff goes on in there, King.
Yeah, fair enough. So best case scenario for Geelong, we don't see a Cats player walking around town until
after they win the flag.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
So they're taking the whole list?
The whole list?
The whole list is going.
So the AFL's trying to cut money, and they're going to take people who don't play.
Well, I can't see why. I suppose you've got to be prepared for all options. Like, if you get a, you know, what if a flu runs through it, or there's a COVID out?
A strain?
Yes. COVID outbreak.
What if there's a Delta variant?
Exactly. So they've got to have all bases covered. So that'll be 40-odd players.
So that'd be, if you're sort of 47th on the list, you're thinking, I'm going to be at a resort. I'm no chance of... I occasionally just have to kick the Sharon around and I'll be able to have some pina coladas and be fantastic. All on the AFL.
Yes. I suspect they'll try and find out. I don't know how the players are going to get matched. So that tells me that there's... So Geelong are in the VFL finals. If they're taking the whole list away and the VFL...
There's no VFL finals.
...happens to get back up, Geelong might be running around with the VFL-listed team rather than...
Well, it's a GFL team.
Basically.
Yeah, they might win it.
And that wouldn't be ideal, because then that would impact teams in the GFL finals. There'd be a flow-on effect there.
Yes, this is...
Because they wouldn't be able to go, well, we're sending a bunch of blokes home to play.
Because they wouldn't be able to get back over.
Correct.
Yeah, look, this is the permutations, Tom, and the
computations
are quite extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. So two changes, because Duncan will come in, and Chris Scott said very likely that Sean Higgins will play after being the 23rd last week.
That won't please everyone.
Who are the two going out? No relation.
No relation. Holmes is out. Got to go out.
Does Brad Close pay for his brain fade?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I'd have to have a look at the team from last week. No relation, definitely, with Duncan back. Mm-hmm. That's a given. You don't even have to think about that one for longer than 2 seconds. And I would suggest to you that, geez, I don't know. That's a big one.
Does Grian Myers become your medical sub?
Or maybe. Or is Sean Higgins the medical sub?
No, he said he'll be in the 22.
Okay, well, he may not be. Do you reckon he might have told an old Porky's?
Well.
Remember the movie Porky's? Yes. Yeah.
What's the official language of the AFL?
Porky's.
Lying.
Yeah. Porky's. Exactly right.
Let me have a look at the Geelong team from last week. It was 4 days ago, but you would think it was last year.
No, I reckon there's a chance Sean Higgins is a medical sub or... I don't know. That's an interesting one. I wouldn't have...
So I don't think Sam Simpson's going out.
Don't want him to go out.
No, not based on his final series last year.
Well, maybe. Geez, that'd be a bit disappointing. I think he's creative. I think he gives you a bit of the old, what they call, X factor.
Mm.
So I don't know. We'll work it out. But I reckon I wouldn't put it past Sean Higgins being the medical sub again. Yeah. I reckon that would make sense. Handy player. He can play a few roles. I mean, if you've got Myers or somebody as your medical sub and
You know, you lose a defender.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I mean, not that Sean can play in defence, but he can play forward or midfield.
You can shuffle.
He can play in a variety of positions. Yep. Myers and these guys are a little bit limited as to where they can play. So I think if you're the medical sub, you want to have somebody who has some degree of versatility, not just not bit one-dimensional.
So no relations numbers last week.
Yeah,
they're not shabby.
All right, but
18 possessions.
Yeah.
7 tackles,
yeah.
5 clearances, yep. 10 of his possessions were contested.
Yeah, he's tracking in the right direction and he's had a taste for AFL footy and I like his... he reminds me a little bit of Trent Cotchin, the way he plays.
Oh, gee, that's a good comparison.
No, not saying in terms of ability.
Same number.
The way he plays. He's sort of his hunch style, he's a little bit hunch. I like his physicality. He's not... he's quite physical.
Yep.
He's a good size. He does a he's got, I've said this, he's got something's wrong with his kicking under pressure. He's kicking his paw. So
he's 189.
We saw one last week when he came off his knee.
Yep.
Like that happens regularly. Mm-hmm. So there's a fatal flaw. Anyway, he's tracking in the right direction, but I think it's time for him to get on the pina coladas at the resort and just get out of the senior
team. A VFL final series would have been perfect for a bloke like
yes,
him.
Yes, that would have been back in the day, sort of Stevie J and Bartel and Josh Hunt and Paul Chapman.
Gary Ebler Jr.
All those blokes.
But even the 07 blokes, like Tom Hawkins, Travis Varko played in that 07 VFL flag. Tommy Lonigan.
Yep.
You know.
No, I think that, he's a lot to like about him. Plenty to work on, though. I'm not doing cartwheels, but I'd be staggered if he's in the team at the expense of, you know, I don't know, a couple others.
Like a Myers or a Dullhouse.
Yeah, I would have thought, yeah.
Port Adelaide's ruck,
yeah.
Lysette. Stanley doesn't mind Lysette in terms of a matchup.
No, Lysette's pretty handy.
But Stanley's more athletic.
Yeah, he is. Lysette's not a statue.
No, but he's not your free runner.
Stanley played really well last week in the first half.
Yep.
And then unfortunately had his pants pulled down in the second half. So I don't know what was going on that last play, Kingy. I think Geelong had Tom Hawkins, Reece Stanley, Mark all standing on the goal line.
Yeah.
So Jake Lever was never kicking the ball 55 metres, ever.
Not
he's
sure.
He's a defender. He's never been a penetrating kick. He was never going to kick it there. And you've got Gorn standing in front of him. Oh, they would never have been able to see Jake Lever. They would have actually asked Gorn, can you just pop out of the way there for a second? We can't see him.
Yep.
It was extraordinary how that...
Somebody went to sleep.
Well, Reece should have been on him, or someone should have been with him.
Well, there was a vision of showing him looking over his shoulder going, oh, hang on, where should I be right now?
Yeah, well, he didn't know. You know what they say, Kingy?
Mm-hmm.
When nothing's going right, you know what they say?
Right.
Go left. He didn't go anywhere.
Oh, wow.
So.
We've got some questions, Benny, if you're happy to answer them.
Oh, I love questions.
You do love questions. Rosso, club legend, please note, slightly alcohol-induced question. Trying to make sense of our capitulation against the Ds, seems that our second quarter was brought together with a swarm of centre clearances and an attack-at-all-times mentality. So just trying to justify why we thought that trying to shut up shop for an hour rather than playing the game out was the way to go. When we attack, we look unbeatable, so why is it that we constantly invite pressure and possible turnovers by chipping the ball around and holding the ball up? Going out on a limb here, but Hawkins, Cameron, Cameron and Rowan would appreciate the ball coming in fast before numbers and opposition structure gets back to clog the space.
100%. But you'd want that every week. That's why I think if Geelong's midfield can provide a little bit of that, and you're not going to be able to do it all the time. Port Adelaide are a good team for a reason, so they're able to clog you up. It's picking the right time to go fast, making the right option, and then executing the skill. So if Geelong's midfield can find ways to move the ball quickly enough to give those players one-on-ones, I think Geelong can win the game. Because I think those forwards have infinitely more talent than the Port Adelaide defenders. But if they're forced into a slow play, then it doesn't matter what defence you've got going. You've got numbers back there. It's easy to defend. So, but this whole concept of just playing fast all the time, you're not going to be able to do that.
No.
It's finding those options and finding the right time to play fast. Mm. And that's where they miss Tom Stewart. Because he's the one that has the capacity to mark the ball when perhaps you don't the team with the ball is thinking that they're a good scoring chance.
Yep.
Suddenly Stewart jumps up, marks it, runs the other way, and creates a real turnover sort of situation. Yep. That's where they miss him.
Right, the Ranger continue the good work, gents. So, yes. He's got Cameron Ling as his
avatar. Caribbean goal, I think it is, Ranger.
He's got Cameron Ling as his avatar. Watching the game Saturday night reinforced the view that our game style no longer suits GMHBA's narrow wings. We kick it around before entering the 50 to pull them out and spread them. Simply wasn't enough room at GMHBA. That's not a bad point.
No.
That's not a bad point. A smart change given finals aren't generally played at GMHBA. Credit to Chris for that. Another learning from Saturday night is the best way to beat Geelong is to make us feel we have won the game. We either won't show up for the start or we'll switch off like last Saturday, and so many times we are run down. Maybe that's a symptom of old experienced heads. The desire to hold back when not necessary, to not blow out, is not balanced with some young enthusiasm.
Yeah. Like, is that written and authorised by the Ranger?
The Ranger.
Yeah, for the ALP or the Liberal Party, Liberal National Party.
Written, spoken and authorised by.
No, I think he's... that wasn't gas-induced tweet, was it?
No.
That was another dude.
That was another dude, yeah.
Right, okay. So, no, well, the Rangers.
Rosso was the...
Rangers make sense, Kenny. That's the thing.
Right. Yeah. Daz Broncos, great call from the weekend. Must pay homage to Tom Hawkins' 300th. What a legend of the club and the game, and there has there been a nicer bloke with more frees against wrongly to ever make 300?
Written and authorised by Daz. It's great effort. We've spoken about it. It's going to be big night. Let's hope he produces, because I think that's win if he produces.
I guess this is pretty simple now. Are we better for feeling the gut-wrenching disappointment of that kind of loss before the finals start to remind them of how it felt last year losing the GF to Richmond? Keep in mind we still have a double chance and have not lost anything yet, or has it now brought a level of self-doubt into the group, and more importantly given a level of belief to the other seven teams that we can be gotten no matter how far in front we get? Let's have a good week.
No, I think it's a positive, to be honest with you. I know it was a capitulation, but I think it's a positive because it would be irritating to think they let that slip. But I also think there should be really good learnings from the last quarter as to what they can do when the momentum is against them. And I think it's just a really good, what they would classify as a refresher course. So I actually think it'll turn out to be a positive having that happen, because it'd be so fresh on the eve of finals that there'll be lessons learned. They won't allow people like Max Gorn to stand 20 metres out. All those little things, and that's only one example. I'm sure there's a lot if you analyse that last quarter. I'm sure the coaching staff could pick lots of things that weren't done correctly, like the two stoppages at the start of the quarter when Geelong actually... did they actually come out onto the ground?
Yeah, not sure.
I think it was like two minutes into the last quarter before they actually started the game.
Still in the huddle.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of things, and I reckon that can be a positive, because Geelong had them on the ropes, got beaten, yes, but there'll be an irritation factor of, okay, well, we probably should have won and we didn't, and let's learn from it.
Howler, 41.
Ooh, Howler.
Well, I am one for sitting on the fence. Massive positive was to bang on 8 straight goals and show the D's for defence could be opened up. However, to give up a 44-point lead and find ourselves playing the only true away final versus Port is disappointing. Reece Stanley played one hell of a first half. Most impressive to me was him pushing deep into defence and putting on some big spoils. He was he actually found himself in some really good positions.
He was fantastic, but then in the second half, he went completely missing.
Yes, unfortunately, you can't let your guard down versus Gorn, and Reece is the best bet we've got in the ruck. 300 games for my favourite player, Tom Hawkins. A goal after the siren versus the Hawks, 2012, coming of age, 2011 grand final. We will truly miss him when he retires. Tom came to Warrnambool for a Macca's promo sponsorship in around 2014-15. He posed for photos with my sister's kids, and my mother asked him, would he write a small letter for her adult son, me. The letter reads, "Dear Mick, I love you, Tom Hawkins." It sits in a photo frame in a drawer along with other treasured memories. Most of my friends give me plenty over the bromance. Anyway, let's hope Port play McKenzie on him and he kicks eight.
I don't know, Kingy. Obviously, you talk about lots of players. Have you heard anybody talk ill of Tom Hawkins?
No. You get the commentary around he's done some silly things
on
the footy field.
Yeah, you get that,
outside of that, no.
He's a very likable human being.
Affable.
He's affable. I love that word, affable. Yes. Are you affable?
No.
You're not?
No.
Who?
I'm recalcitrant.
Affable. Won the 31 Melbourne Cup. Did he? Affable.
After Farlap?
No, he didn't.
Farlap in 30?
I just made that up.
Farlap 30 into affable in 31.
I made that up.
You did.
Do you reckon in the second half, Reece Stanley was trying to just prolong his life? Because do you know that, like, rabbits...
Where are you going here?
Rabbits run, right? Mm-hmm. Rabbits side jump.
Yep.
And they live for about 8 years.
Right.
Yeah. Dogs. They live for about 15.
Yep.
Turtles don't do anything and they live for about 15. So do you reckon there's a lesson? Do you reckon there's a lesson in that? If you do absolutely stuff all, you live a bit longer.
Mr. Catman 01, hey guys, that was a weird game on Saturday night, very Jekyll and Hyde. Do you think that the result will impact the Cats mentally?
No.
Or will the experience of the group be able to cope?
I think it'll be positive. I honestly think it'll be a positive out of the negative.
Also, will Stanley be able to cope with Lysette or will Sav come in to support selection? Huge
this
week.
Given they didn't go with Sav last week, you'd be surprised if they went with him this week.
I don't think they go
with him. No. My only concern with that, as I mentioned that earlier, is I wouldn't want to have prolonged periods of Lockie Henderson on Charlie Dixon.
Yep.
I think Blitzarv is a much better matchup, but if Blitzarv has to go into the ruck, that potentially leaves him exposed. That's my only concern. But yeah, I don't know that they'll go back to Radigalia, which poses the question. You know, he's contracted, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because he can't get a game. Yeah,
well,
anyway.
Reece Stanley is out of contract. Is Reece Stanley still at Geelong next year?
Do you reckon they make Radigalia your ruck? Geez, he'd need to start running now.
Yep.
Maybe he could run over across the Nullarbor just to improve his fitness on the way.
That's it, Benny.
Are we done?
We're done.
Go the Cats.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker and Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.